So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 21, Text 6 to 7. Which is only, there's no purports for many of the verses, as is common, so we'll just keep on reading. Translation, they worship the Lord by offering fragrant flowers, water, pada and argya, sandalwood pulp and aguru pulp, incense, lamps, fused rice, unbroken grains, fruits, roots, and sprouts. Not very expensive to worship the Lord. While doing so, they offered prayers indicating the glorious activities of the Lord and shouted, Jai! Jai! They also danced, played instruments, sang, sounded conch shells, and beat kettle drums, in this way worshiping the Lord. Jambavan, the king of the bears, also joined in the ceremony. Sounding his bugle in all directions, he declared a great festival for Lord Vamanadeva's victory. When the demoniac followers of Maharaj Bali saw that their master, who had been determined in performing sacrifice, had lost all his possessions of Vamanadeva, who had taken them away on the plea of begging 3 paces of land, they were very angry and spoke as follows. This Vamana is certainly not a Brahmana, but the best of cheaters, Lord Vishnu. Assuming the form of a Brahmana, he has covered his own form, and thus he is working for the interests of the demigods. Double agent. Our Lord, Vali Maharaj, because of his position in performing the yajna, has given up the power to punish. Taking advantage of this, our eternal enemy, Vishnu, dressed in the form of a brahmachari beggar, and has taken away all his possessions. Our Lord Bali Maharaj is always fixed in truthfulness, and this is especially so at the present, since he has been initiated into performing a sacrifice. He is always kind and merciful towards the brahmanas, and he cannot at any time speak lies. Therefore, it is our duty to kill this Vamanadeva. Good luck. It is our religious principle and the way to serve our master. After making this decision, the demoniac followers of Bali Maharaj Bali took up their various weapons with a view to killing Vamanadeva. Obviously, they lost their intelligence. O King, the demons, aggravated by their usual anger, took their lances and tridents in hand, and against the will of Bali Maharaj, they pushed forward to kill Lord Vamanadeva. Dum da dum dum. We'll continue tomorrow. No. O King, when the associates of Lord Vishnu saw the soldiers of the demons coming forward in violence, they smiled. Taking up their weapons, they forbade the demons to continue their attempt. Nanda, Sunanda, Jaya, Vijaya, Prabala, Bala, Kamuda, Kamudaksha, Vishvaksena, Patat, Tri Rat, Garuda, Jayanta, Shutadev, Pushpadanta, and Satvata were all associates of Lord Vishnu. They were as powerful as 10,000 elephants, and now they began killing the soldiers of the demons. And Bali Maharaj saw his own soldiers were being killed by the associates of Lord Vishnu, remembered the curse of Sukracharya, and forbade his soldiers to continue fighting. O Viprachiti, O Rahu, O Nimi, please hear my words. Don't fight. Stop immediately. For the present time is not in our favor. O Daityas, by human efforts, no one could supersede the Supreme Personality of Godhead, can bring happiness and distress to all living entities. The Supreme Time Factor, which represents the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was previously in our favor, not in favor of the demigods, but now the same time factor is against us. No one can surpass the time representations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by material power, by the council of ministers, by intelligence, by diplomacy, by fortresses, by mystic mantras, by drugs, by herbs, or by any other means. Text 23. Bhavadbir nijita yete bahusho nuchara hare daive nar daischa evadya yadi jitva nadanti naha. Bhavadbi, by all you demons, nijitaha, have been defeated. He, indeed, ete, all these soldiers of the demigods, bahusha, in great number, anuchara, followers, hare, of Lord Vishnu, Daivena, by providence, Ridai, whose opulence was increased, Te, they, the demigods, Eva, indeed, Adya, today, Yudi, in the fight, Jitva, defeating, the Danti are vibrating in jubilation. Naha, us. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Previously, being empowered by providence, you defeated a great number of such followers of Lord Vishnu. But today, those same followers, having defeated us, are roaring in jubilation like lions. Purport. Bhagavad Gita mentions five causes of defeat or victory. Of these five, daiva, providence, is the most powerful. Na cha daivat param balam. Bali Maharaj knew the secret of how he had formerly been victorious because providence was in his favor. Now since the same providence was not in his favor, there is no possibility of his victory. Thus he very intelligently forbade his associates to fight. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that there are five causes for the accomplishment of any kind of work. Adishtanam tata karata, karanam cha pritag vidan, vivridas cha pritag chesta, daivam chaivatma panchamam. Panchamam means five. So the first one, adishtanam, the place of action. So that means the body. Now, what exactly we're doing, that we may be bewildered by, because, generally speaking, the conditioned soul thinks himself to be the doer. Does anyone know a verse in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says he's not the doer? Where are Bhagavad Gita scholars? Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. So prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha. So prakriti means the material nature. Prakrite kriyamanani. So the material nature is doing something. Kriya. Kriya means to do something. Prakrite kriyamanani nirmani sarvashaha. Ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. 327. Prakrite kriyamanani. gunai karmani sarvashaha. So prakrite kriyamanani. So material nature is everywhere. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha. So gunai means the most material nature, karmani to do, sarvasha. So material nature is everywhere, and the modes of material nature are also everywhere, doing everything. Prakrite kriyamana nir gunai karmani sarvashaha. Ahankara. Due to this ahankara, aham means I, kara means I'm doing. Ahankara vimudatma. V means, is in expressing very much. And muda means a fool, or a rascal, complete idiot. Or muda means ass also, who is a symbol of stupidity. Kartaham, so karta aham, I am doing. Karta aham, kartaham, prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudama kartaham itam manyate, thinking. So we're thinking we're the doers. So does that mean that we're not doing anything? Yes, we're doing something because we're alive, we're conscious. We must be doing something. But what we think we're doing, we're not doing. And what we don't know we're doing, that's what we're actually doing. Of course, we have one thing that we know we're doing, but we don't understand the influence of it. Namely, we're desiring. We can feel that desire, when we find some object that we appreciate and we want, then we feel that desire, or we feel that desire when there's something we're trying to get away from. But actually, at every moment, we're desiring. In the material world, either to get something, or to get away from something, or we're just not so aware of exactly whether we like it or dislike it, but we're kind of in between. There's kind of a neutral state. And then there's a desire to serve Krishna. To serve Krishna. Then, on the other side, there's a desire to serve Krishna. But we have a body. And if we identify ourselves with the body, then actually the body will give us so much service. Some of which we have to do in order to maintain it. But if we identify ourselves with Krishna, then we think of what should I do with this body to serve Krishna, including eating. Just like if you have a car, now you may not think aham car. Aham means I am car. I am the car. You may not think you're the car. But still, you take care of the car because there's a purpose to having a car. You drive it somewhere, hopefully for Krishna. So the fact that I'm not the car doesn't mean I don't take care of the car. It means I take care of the car for another purpose other than just maintaining the car. But when we think we're the car, when we think we're this body, then our whole purpose is just to serve the senses and the mind or its extensions, like family, society, etc. All in relationship to this body. Like today I have this body, and I think I have so many relatives, I think I have so many friends. But when I leave the body, then I lose all those friends and relatives. Just like Chitraketu had his son, Harsha Shloka. Harsha means to happiness. And Shloka means lamentation. So he named his son because he understood his son was going to give him Harsha, jubilation, as well as Shloka, or lamentation. And indeed, his son was born, and to one wife, Kadayu, or so. And because Chitraketu had 10 million wives, The other 9,999,999 became very disturbed. Because all the attention went to this little child and to that one wife. So that was very disturbing to the 9,999,999 other wives. So they got a plan, they poisoned the little baby. And then, although the king and the queen were very jubilant, the whole kingdom was jubilant that finally the king has a son, but now the whole kingdom and the king and the queen were very morose, depressed, and now the child was dead. But luckily, Narada Muni came with Parvati Muni, his friend, and he called the little dead soul, the soul back to the dead body. And Narada Muni said, "My dear soul, why did you leave your body? Why did you leave your mother and father?" And the soul said, "But which mother and father? I've had so many mothers and fathers. Which one are you talking about?" "Well, this one, you know, Chitraketu, his wife, Kadayu." "Oh, that one, yeah. Well, the actual fact was that in my last lifetime, I was this king's enemy, and we fought on the battle, and he killed me. And I vow I'd come back and cause him all kinds of distress. So now I've taken birth as his child. So now when I left the body, I caused him all kinds of misery. And that was I felt really good about that one." So then the king realized that this whole thing about family life and happiness and distress is all illusion, and he gave it up, this idea of having a child. So similarly, because we're in this body, everything we have in relation to this body we identify with, and then in the course of time it's all taken away from us, and we don't know anything about it anymore. We don't identify with it. We have no feelings for it anymore. What to speak if we enter into another species of life? Then we have nothing to do with any human being here, except for the fact that they may be chasing us to eat us. Therefore, adhishthanam, this identification with the body, is not... The body is there. The body. We need a body to do things, but we shouldn't identify with it. But it's one of the factors. Without a body, we can't do anything. Gross and subtle body, of course. Adhishthanam tata karta. So then there's the karta, the doer. And who's the doer in this verse? It's us. We're the doer. But I thought we weren't the doer. You just told us we're not the doer. Now that you're saying we're the doer. Does Krishna know what he's talking about? Maybe you should rewrite the Bhagavad Gita. A few mistakes here and there. No, karta means that we're responsible for what's happening. We may not be directly doing it. Just like, for instance, you may have a big manufacturing machine. And someone presses a button and all kinds of robots come out and they manufacture the machine. Now, that person who pressed the machine is not personally manufacturing whatever the robots are manufacturing. But he's responsible for their being manufactured because he pressed the button. Similarly, whatever is happening with this body, whatever is happening with our mind, whatever is happening with our words, is not being directly done by us, but we're responsible for it because of our desires, both in the past and in the present. Therefore, we're the doer, but we're not exactly doing things. The material nature or the spiritual nature is doing everything, and we ourselves are simply desiring. And by Krishna's arrangement, because he's in the heart, he understands our desire, just like one can understand the flavor of a flower by smelling it. Therefore, he perfectly arranges everything in the material world to fulfill our desires according to what we deserve. And adishtanam tatakarta karanam. Karana means the senses. If you have a dead body, it also is a body. It is a place of action for the worms and for the insects that are eating it now. But when the soul is in the body, then the senses work. Karana. The working senses, which are the arms and the legs, etc. The knowledge-acquiring senses like the eyes, the ears. Now, it's not exactly the body that's working, in one sense. Well, it's not the body that's perceiving, it's the soul that's perceiving. But it perceives through the senses. And when the senses are pure, then it sees things as they are. And when the senses are contaminated, then one sees things according to the contamination of the senses. Similarly, when the senses are in the modes of material nature, they're more enlivened in the mode of goodness. They perform activities more finer in the mode of goodness, more passionate, more erratic in the mode of passion, and more lethargic in the mode of ignorance. Karanam cha pritag veta. Veta. And then there's the conjunction between the soul and the false ego that causes him to identify himself with the body. So that's another factor. Either we identify ourselves with Krishna or we identify ourselves with the body. Two different qualities of activities, spiritual or material. Daivam chaivatma panchama. And then finally there is this Krishna. And Krishna is manifested in the material world for those who are in the material consciousness in the form of time. Creating all the activities or through his material nature, manifesting the different arrangements according to our past activities. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions that time in a number of places. He also says that time is one factor, one of the five factors. Ishvara, then there is Jiva. What's that? Yeah, Kala, Purusha, Karma. So first one is Ishvara, then Jiva, then Karma, then Prakriti, and then Kala. And out of the five, four are eternal. Kala is eternal because it's a manifestation of Ishvara's controlling factor in the material world. That under the time factor, the three modes of material nature come into being and they produce karma. Karma is the only thing that's not eternal, it's temporary. We can change our karma as we change our desire, so our karma changes, either from material to spiritual or to the different varieties of the modes of nature. But desire is there. Therefore, here it says we should respect the fact that there is kala, and that we're not the only factor in the accomplishment of work. Well, one of the factors, we can't negate or abnegate our responsibility, but we have to understand that we're not the supreme controllers, that these arrangements are being made in a massive scale in all these universes, what to speak in this one little place called Slovenia, or in this world that we're living in, which we may have some concern about, but we don't have that much influence over, at least until we become empowered by Krishna, who has the influence over everything. In other words, if our desires become purified, then our influence, or Krishna's influence, becomes greater. And if our desires remain in the modes of material nature, our desires are proportionally less significant. And at the same time, we should understand that we're not the controllers, that we have to find out what Krishna wants us to do. That's all we have to do, is find out what Krishna wants us to do and agree to do that. Then whatever we're doing will be helpful for ourselves and helpful for others. And we don't have to take responsibility for the result. We don't have to take responsibility for what goes on everywhere at all times. We just have to take responsibility for ourselves and do what Krishna wants. And because what Krishna wants is to help others, therefore we become a better instrument to help others too, besides ourselves. And if we try to take Krishna's position, we can neither help ourselves nor help anyone else. If we don't inquire from what Krishna wants us to do, then whatever we're doing will be simply in the modes of material nature. As Krishna says, Matshita sarvadorgani matprasada tarishasi atachat vamahankaram vimokshasi that's not right. Matshita sarvadorgani matprasada tarishasi atachat vamahankaram Niyokshasi, 58. Nishoshasi, Vinangshasi. Matshita Sarvadurgana. If you become conscious of me, then you'll pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you work not hearing from me, then you'll be lost. So we have to hear from Krishna all the time. Hear Bhagavad Gita, hear the Super Soul, hear from Krishna's representatives, and then do what they want us to do, and then we won't be lost. And if we, as soon as we stop, we're lost in the illusion of material existence. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, thank you, Maharaj. I would like to ask you, how can we purify all our material desires?
Start with one at a time. You have, unfortunately, we don't have unlimited material desires, but we start with one at a time. Find out what it is, and see if we can utilize it in Krishna's service. And if we can't, then we just become aloof from it and do something more positive. So one at a time, find out what we're doing wrong, then find out what we should be doing, how to make that right. And if we can't make it right, then just give it up and do something else.
Thank you.
Anything else? Yes.
Four questions. First one, could you please explain a bit more the time factor being in favor or not? Being in favor or not? It seems to me an atheistic consideration.
A what?
Time factor being in favor
or not. Atheistic?
Consideration.
No. Krishna is arranging everything in the material world according to a karma, what people deserve. So it's not that we should think we deserve everything, that we should be able to do anything. We have to find out what actually Krishna wants us to do. We have to observe what's actually going on and see what's the most appropriate thing to do, rather than just do whatever we want to do, because we think that it doesn't matter, I can conquer everything. Like one horse, scrawny horse, is watching big horses cross the river and being swept away by the waves. And then he thinks, well, I'll give it a try. He's observing, that even more powerful horses can't cross the river, and yet he's not using his intelligence to see that I shouldn't do it because it's not the proper time.
Another one. Hare Krishna Maharaj question, what does spiritual perfection mean? Is it imperative to have perfect understanding of the scriptures?
Well, Krishna says, I am knowledge, I'm the end of knowledge, I'm the goal of knowledge, I'm situated in everyone's heart. So the perfection of knowledge, perfection of religion, is to give everything and surrender to Krishna. Become a perfect instrument in Krishna's service, perfect servant of Krishna, to do everything for Krishna, to please Krishna. That's perfection.
Another one.
Yeah.
If we are not doer, for who are the injunctions of the Shastras?
For the desire.
Written?
I said for we're desire. The desire, so we have to desire it to follow Krishna's directions. Yakshastra vidim usrija vartite kamakarata dasasadima vapnoti nasukam na param gitim. One who gives up shastra and acts whimsically, according to lust, anger, and greed, attains neither peace nor perfection, nor the supreme destination. Therefore, it is said that one should know what is duty and what is not duty by the injunctions of shastra. Tasmat shastram pramanam te karya karya vivyastito gyatva shastra vidanoktam karma kartam viharasi. One should know what is duty and what is not duty by the directions of shastra, and knowing such directions one should act so that gradually one become purified. So we have to dovetail our desires with the appropriate shastra.
Another one. In one shloka, there is a description of Mahavishnu that his senses are unlimited and everywhere. So what does that mean, that Mahavishnu's senses are everywhere?
Sarvata pariparam tat sarvata shishra mukam sarvata shuti mahalokai sarvam amriti tishtite. Everywhere his arms and legs, and he hears everything. In this way, the Supersoul exists, pervading everything. So Krishna is in everyone's heart. So in that sense, he's everywhere. And at the same time, he's controlling, he's Rishikesha. He's controlling everyone's senses. So ultimately, everyone's body is Krishna's body too.
Is desire the same as the willing of the mind? Is that definition of desire?
What's that?
Is desire the same as the willing of the mind?
Well, it's one of the, willing is one of the factors of desire. There's thinking, there's feeling, and there's willing. But ultimately, strong desire comes out as willing. And what if we become attached to thinking, what we're thinking about, then we'll start feeling about it. When we start feeling about it, then we'll eventually start willing for it, usually. It's just different varieties of desire, different intensities of desire. Anything else?
If there is time for that, I was thinking, whether we don't have time factor in spiritual life, does all devotees there should do service exactly on the time, or how it is work?
Where?
In the spiritual world. In
spiritual world? Well, time is stretchable. This time is eternal. Time serves all this, the Krishna in the spiritual world.
Is
and
there,
everyone serves Krishna.
Is there a kind of pressure to do service on
no,
the time?
No, there's no. Well, anyhow, they all do it spontaneously out of love. There's no pressure. They want to do it. They want to do it better all the time, more pleasing to Krishna. Radharani is always in a hurry to meet with Krishna. And even if there's some obstacle sometimes there, but that obstacle simply increases her desire to serve Krishna more. So everything there is arranged to increase everyone's love and desire to serve.
Thank you.
Hvala Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.